Lord, come to us this evening. Our door is open. One Kings, chapter 19. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of theirs." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. And I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also, anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouths have not kissed him." great stories, those stories of the Old Testament. Jezebel was a woman to be reckoned with. Elijah was a prophet to be reckoned with. Like all great stories, they don't stay in the past. They ring bells for us today, or they should do. They so often, if we will pick it up, resonate with particular relevance in situations in our lives. This story began, of course, before we picked it up in chapter 19. In chapter 18, there was the bruising confrontation on Mount Carmel. The prophets of the god Baal versus the prophet of the Lord, Elijah. Supporters chanting and shouting for their side, stripped to the waist, vuvuzelas hooting. The World Cup had nothing on that confrontation. Interesting, isn't it, how we make these sporting occasions into a battle? All the language of warfare is spread across the papers. And of course there is warfare going on around us today. St. Paul reminds us of that. Spiritual warfare. I'm very conscious of that warfare, working as I do in Maeskirchen. It's a hard place to be a Christian. For a start, there are so few of us. In Eglisegrois, our church, perhaps 24 active Christians. And the prevailing culture is against us. It's not antagonism. It's simply indifference. Perhaps even incomprehension as to what we're about. People simply don't connect with the church in places like Maeskirchen. And we are engaged there in spiritual warfare for people. Bodies and souls. Bodies and souls. As an example, I think of the many funerals I've taken in my time there, and the proportion of them where alcohol is a factor in the death of the person is a higher percentage than anywhere else in the British Isles that I've worked. Bodies and souls. It's a struggle to get the gospel across the gap that exists, to get the message across. I'm not saying that Maeskirchen is the only place in Bangor where spiritual warfare is being waged. Of course not. I'm not saying it's the worst place. There are spiritual battles here in Upper Bangor. There are spiritual battles going on in the city centre. And it's so good that these street pastors are going to be there in the city centre by the autumn, we hope. But maybe in Maeskirchen, the battle lines are a little clearer to us. We all need to remind ourselves from the Old Testament again, the battle is the Lord's. And Elijah in our story emerges victorious in the struggle on Mount Carmel, and it leaves him on top of the world. But he awakens next morning or he would awaken today to a text message from Jezebel. Be afraid. Be very afraid. And he was, naturally, very afraid. He knew what she was capable of, and he ran for his life. He wanted to get as far away from Jezebel as he could. He headed for the hills because he knew a thing or two about going into hiding. And Elijah traveled through the desert on his own and suddenly came to a halt, slumped down under the shade of a bush. He had quite simply run out of steam. He was ready to give up. He actually said, "I have had enough." You've been there. I've been there. I think in recent years, the church of Eglise-sur-Grois has also been there. There comes, for many, a point of exhaustion. We're physically tired and emotionally drained. We feel we can do no more. 2 years ago, celebrating 50 years since their planting from Hir Eyal, Eglise-sur-Grois was asking itself, where do we go from here? How do we go on? It is hard every Sunday morning for the people to pick up the beer cans, not just one or two, but maybe 15 or 20 beer cans and the bottles that have been lobbed onto the concrete. That's not easy to do week by week. Elijah, at his lowest point, was sustained and fed. He rests and begins to revive. His prayer is answered. And the prayer of the people of Eglise-sur-Grois was answered in a quite remarkable way. They had had no regular minister for nearly 2 years. But God sent them not one, but two ministers. Like Elijah, we are old stagers. We're both retired. But God clearly had work for us, for me and my colleague Rhys. Remarkable because I had never been to Maeskirchen. I'd driven past many times. And the people of Eglise-sur-Grois didn't know of my existence, hidden away in Llanfairpwllgwyngyll. Elijah and Eglise-sur-Grois are enabled to move on. Elijah travels 40 days and 40 nights, a long journey in the wilderness. 40 days and 40 nights aren't a set time, they're a biblical time, a time of significance, a journey of significance. Someone else, remember, spent 40 days and 40 nights in a wilderness. I believe this is a time of significance in the life of Maeskirchen. The work of the Healthy Living Centre, for instance, is beginning after 8 years to show some bearing of fruit. But the future is not secure financially, particularly in the way things have now turned. Bangor Carnival was organized and run principally by people from Maeskirchen, members, of course, of the People of Bangor community group. What would you say is the spiritual significance of that? Think about it. This is a significant time for Eglise Y Groes. There is a window of opportunity there for the church, and it's an opportunity that needs to be grasped. We move towards the climax of our story. Elijah is on the mountain, but holed up in a cave. He talks with God. He speaks and he listens. It's one of the great conversations of the Bible, and there are many great conversations in the Bible. And it begins, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he launches, not once, but twice, into a justification of himself, full of self-pity. "I've done all I can. The people don't listen. It's not me, it's them." And the Lord doesn't answer his complaint directly. He sends him out onto the cliff face, and Elijah experiences the power and the majesty of the Lord. And then, of course, the gentle whisper, the whisper of God, the way that so often he speaks to us. Are you tuned in to God's whisper? The Lord lifts Elijah's eyes away from himself and his problems, and he's told to go back. "You've still got work to do. You are not on your own." We believe in Eglise Y Groes. We are not meant to be there on our own. And we therefore asked all the churches of Bangor to help us. And we await their response. In our story, Elijah had lost sight of the many faithful ones in Israel, those who remained loyal and committed. We in Eglise Y Groes are asking committed Christian people to come and share in our outreach in Maeskirchen, to grasp this window of opportunity which we believe is there, to engage with us in our spiritual warfare. Elijah was asking, "Is there anybody else out there?" And he got his answer. Here at Penrath, you are already involved, principally through the band and your musicians. And for them, we are greatly thankful. I hope to have an opportunity early in the autumn to share more of our plans with you. And for some of you, perhaps, to share more in the work in Maeskirchen, in the spiritual battle, which is not ours and not yours. The battle is the Lord's.